Many people feeling close to retirement ask themselves, do I have enough?
Am I missing something?
At Diversified Wealth Strategies, we provide clarity during our complimentary, no-pressure consultation. We're independent advisors using big firm tools with a boutique-style approach.
And no crickets. We stay in touch so you're never left wondering.
At Diversified Wealth Strategies, let us show you how to capture the upside, limit the downside, and feel good inside.
Visit dwstrategies.com.
Securities and investment services offered through Osaic Wealth, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Osaic Wealth.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, so glad that you are with us. Francesca Hong interview is on our podcast page. If you text the word WAN, W-A-N, to 855-616-1620, it will be there shortly. So make sure you text WAN and you can catch that interview sometime this afternoon. Producer 105 will have that up there.
Very interesting question you had with her about defunding police and pressing on that.
Yeah, so you can check that out. All right. The big weather story today is the big news story of the day, and that is the smoky air. WTMJ meteorologist Craig Copeland is with us. Craig, good afternoon. So I looked this up for some perspective. Here's how dangerous the air quality is. If you were to work outside, and some people have to if they're working, landscapers, construction crews, 8 hours in this would be the equivalent, if you didn't wear a mask, to smoking 10 cigarettes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Talk about how dangerous this is, especially for people that have a compromised immune system or are elderly.
Well, the air quality reading, the air quality index measured by the DNR, set a record today, a record high. The air quality is worse today than it was a couple of years ago when we had those several weeks in a row of the real smoky air. And I think you can tell. I remember, as I'm thinking back to those times, you could see the smoke in the sky and occasionally smell it down here on the ground, but you couldn't smell it as much as you can smell it today. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And Julia, you have like a sniffle, a sore throat. I mean, it's definitely impacting people, even people inside.
It's making me want to sneeze here in the Avenue. It's very open air. You know, this used to be the mall. And I can see the haze indoors.
Yeah, it's just gross. That's not an official weather word, but it covers it, doesn't it? It's just gross to be outside in. Even inside, you feel that way. The air quality index scale is a scale from 1 to 6, with 1 being good air quality, 6 being the worst air quality. And we are at a 6, defined as hazardous air quality. And that means that no one, even healthy people, shouldn't spend a notable amount of time outside physically exerting themselves. And that speaks to the statistic you mentioned before about the cigarettes, John. And folks who have respiratory or heart ailments shouldn't go outside at all when air quality is as bad.
Craig, talk about the combination of, we'd already be talking about how you need to hydrate and be careful because of the heat. If we didn't have the heat, would be a lead story in newscasts if we didn't have the smoke thing. And now we're combining it with the smoke. That just seems to be a really bad equation.
It is a really bad equation. If the smoke does anything, you know, it's blocking out the sun a little bit today, and the humidity is down a little bit today. So the temperature and the humidity is down a little bit. So if you've been outside, and I know nobody wants to spend a lot of time outside today, but at least temperature and humidity wise, it's a little more comfortable, but nobody wants to spend any time outside enjoying that. As we get into tomorrow, the humidity is going to go back up. So is the heat as the smoke starts to diminish a little bit. I think it's going to remain bad through tonight, the air quality, but we'll have gradual improvement tomorrow morning. And by afternoon, by tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night, we should be in pretty good shape. I think we'll get rid of the smell and probably only have a light haze in the air, but that might only be temporarily. More smoke may come back in over the weekend, especially by Saturday afternoon and continuing into Sunday. That's something we'll watch real closely for you.
All right. We'll let you help keep us safe. We appreciate it. Meteorologist Craig Copeland. Thanks, Craig.
You bet. My pleasure.
413 at WTMJ. Up next, remember the guy who faked his death in Green Lake? I mean, this guy went to a lot of trouble. He sank his kayak, he took an e-bike and then a bus and then flew to Eastern Europe. Well, guess what? He didn't die. He was ordered to pay restitution, and shockingly, he has. Wait until you hear how some of that money is being used. That's up next on WTMJ. Want to give you an update. It's really a good, positive update on a story. First, the background. Ryan Borgwardt, remember that guy? Reported
horrible.
Himself missing. I'm sorry, not himself missing. He went missing on August 12th, 2024.
He tried to fake his death.
He didn't return home to his wife and three children in Watertown after going on a solo kayaking trip on Green Lake, okay? Deepest lake in Wisconsin. He goes kayaking, and he overturns his kayak in the lake, uses a small raft, according to police, to then get to shore, tosses his phone, takes an e-bike to Madison, takes a bus to Detroit, gets to Canada, and then flies to Georgia to hook up with Katya. He met Katya on a romantic website, and he goes to Georgia so they can, you know, ching-a-ling-a-ling. And guess what? He wants people to believe that he died in the lake. Authorities do a two-month search. They search for 2 months. They use underwater drones, sonar, divers, canine cadaver teams, multiple departments, and they don't find him because he's with Katya overseas hooking up.
Not expecting that much search.
Yep. They search and search and search. Eventually, the sheriff's department realizes he's there, and they convince him to come back. And he does come back. And in Wisconsin, he's charged with only a misdemeanor because faking your death is not a crime, believe it or not. So he's only charged with obstructing an officer because most of what he did, people would say is terrible, but is not a crime in the state of Wisconsin. So he's ordered to pay $30,000 restitution because of all the resources that were used to look for him. So the $30,000 is ordered to be divided between the Green Lake County Sheriff's Office and the DNR. So here's the update. The DNR reporting that they used $9,000 of the restitution to purchase a specialized sonar device that can be used underwater to map the bottoms of bodies of water for actual missing people. Items or hazards without putting human divers at risk. So the DNR used the money from Borgwardt, Katya's lover, and they actually bought a sonar device. So just weeks after the sonar being used, they say that it's been deployed in 4 missions. It's located 2 missing people, and the money that this clown was ordered to pay is now being used. In addition to helping in future missing person searches, the DNR's new remote sonar tool can be used for other things like ensuring critical infrastructure protection, responding to environmental spills, and protecting underwater cultural resources like Wisconsin shipwrecks along Lake Michigan, etc. By the way, this guy's really good at disappearing. You and I are good at finding people because of what we do for a living. I looked all afternoon and a lot of the databases we use. I don't know where this dude is. He's come back to Wisconsin. Couldn't find where
he
is.
Can he be on probation? It's a misdemeanor. Oh,
he's
wow.
Nope.
His wife divorced him.
Wife gave him the smackdown. Katya's probably ticked off because he left her high and dry in Georgia so he could come back here. So a good little ending to the story that now the DNR has bought this sonar that can really make a difference. It is 420. At WTMJ. Up next, a new survey shows how much money you need to safely retire if you plan to do that in the state of Wisconsin. And which states do you need the most money and which states do you need the least?
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ.
This just in, Ryan Borgwardt has been found in Kazakhstan with Katalia. Just kidding.
What a loser.
Yeah, that dude, come on, seriously. I can't believe he couldn't get charged with any crime except a misdemeanor obstructing an officer.
I had no idea, John, that if you fake your death, you're not charged in our state.
Yeah. This just in, Ryan Borgwardt is now in Turkestan with Amalinda. Just kidding. Okay, how about this? This is interesting. How much money do you need to save to retire comfortably in Wisconsin? So this assumes that you live the same kind of lifestyle you lead now. That you're not traveling more all over the globe, that you're not spending more money, but that you're also not living just in your house eating bologna sandwiches. You're living like you do now. A single retiree, that's important because a lot of people are married. A single retiree in Wisconsin would need $750,000 to live comfortably, according to the personal finance website Investopedia. So here's a couple of things they assume. They assume that whatever your investment number is, so $750,000, you will take 4% of that every year. You'll only spend 4% of that and have Social Security.
It assumes that Social Security still exists.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it assumes that in Wisconsin, retirees, based on their research, need about $54,000 a year. That once you're retired, you'd only need $54,000 a year. First off, that's crazy. But that's like, how are you doing anything?
I just
anything?
Had to change my water heater and it was yeah. ridiculous.
How do you take a vacation? Okay, but they assume you need $54,000 a year.
A John vacation? Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Social Security covers an average of $23,000 a year. That means this thing believes that if you're a single person retired in Wisconsin, you need $30,000 to cover the gap between what you get in Social Security and what your expenses are. So they say you'll take $30,000 a year out of your retirement savings, and that means you need $750,000 a year. First off, how can someone retire on $53,000 a year?
Did it also account for the rate of inflation?
It did. It accounted for all of those things. Yep.
So that's right now.
It's now, but they make assumptions about what they believe inflation will be.
Projection.
Yep. Yep.
That's not enough. I'm sorry.
That's not much.
I'm sorry. It's not.
Well, you're fancy pants, so no, it's not enough for you.
Oh, Mr. Elevator, please.
I mean, the expensive stuff you buy, you need a lot of money. So, okay. So it says Wisconsin is middle of the road. Actually, we're 24th. So we're really, really, really right in the middle.
I do get texts that from this one texter that's not nice.
Yeah, screw him. I mean, he's not nice. He's just not nice. You got to stop looking
or
at the text line.
Who knows?
Yeah. Let's just pretend it was a he or a her. All right. Which states require the least amount of savings for retirement? North Dakota. You need the least amount because cost of living is inexpensive. Arkansas is second. Your brother.
That's where my brother lives, yeah.
Mississippi, the third easiest place to retire, followed by West Virginia and Iowa. Which states require more than $1 million required to retire?
California, New York.
Good guesses. New Jersey and Hawaii are tied for the most. Mm-hmm. California is third. And Washington, D.C., not technically a state, but they are included, is fourth. So in Wisconsin, they say the average single person needs $750,000 to live comfortably during retirement.
From the 608, a texter, if you have no debt, $53K is enough.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ.
All right, let's go. We're getting ready for my favorite week of the year. That is EAA Air Venture Week. I think it's the greatest thing we do in Wisconsin all summer, and it's almost here. Dick Napinski is the Director of Communications for EAA Air Venture. He's not going to sleep for the next 8 days, 9 days, 10 days. Hi, Dick.
How are you doing? This is great. I've got the phone line and the video and everything going on at the same time here, and technology is grand, but we're with you.
Text watch.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you can see it all. Hey, let's talk right now. As you walk the grounds today, what does it look like as we head into that final weekend before opening day?
Oh, man, it is a buzz with activity. You know, the exhibitors have rolled in, the campers. We've got, you know, hundreds, maybe a couple thousand campers out there already, and they keep coming in, too, starting to set up camp. You know, pretty soon we're going to see the airplanes coming in as well and doing all of that. But a lot of volunteers, just a lot of enthusiasm right now looking forward to Monday's opening day.
So as I was driving into work, the DOT has, those alerts over this over the highways, and it says, turn your lights on. Make sure your lights are on today. So does the wildfire smoke, Dick, have any effect on preparations for pilots coming in for EAA?
It does. You know, it's a lot like if you have a big storm front in front of you and you're looking at the weather forecast and saying, boy, visibility is really down. It could be a storm front, fog, whatever it happens to be. And when that stuff settles, it changes things. For instance, today the airport is strictly instrument approach. only, so those people with what's called IFR slots can get in. But if you're just flying, following the roads and the railroad tracks to get to the airport, you're going to hang back because the visibility just isn't proper. What we're hearing, we talk a lot with the National Weather Service, and they're saying, you know, tomorrow afternoon into Saturday, we could get a break and that could open up and people could start flowing in here. But, you know, we've had years where we've had low overcast and it's held people up with rain or fog sometimes. So it's something as a pilot you build in, you make your plan, and then you say, okay, here's my minimums. This is where I feel safe flying. I'm going to follow that in. And when it opens up, yeah, we'll get the influx.
So we all hope that this blows over because we want the air shows to be spectacular like they always are. But I think you raise an interesting point because most of the military aircraft would still be able to get in because of the high technology they use, right?
Right. Exactly right. You know, and a lot of the pilots for the air shows, they too are instrument-rated pilots, and so they can get in there. Really, it's for a lot of the people who camp next to their airplanes, the people who fly the small aircraft and so forth. They wisely hang back and say, you know, here is my minimums, here's what I'm comfortable with, and I'm going to wait till that opens up when I can come in. And we've seen that before, again, when we've had weather fronts and things like that the weekend before. So let's get some nice south-southwest wind up here and you know, some low humidities and get this stuff out of here, and you know, we'll send it back to Canada and northern Minnesota and so forth where it belongs.
Dick, it's so interesting that you just confirmed something really cool with the NFL, that they're going to fly in a Boeing 777 that belongs to an NFL team.
That's right. You know, training camps are opening up here in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, it used to be that NFL teams would get on board and they'd fly first class with airlines. No more. They've got their own charters. And there's a company called Gridiron Air that supplies air services to NFL teams, to some of the World Cup teams playing in North America and so forth. So on Monday, opening day, we're going to have the Arizona Cardinals jet here. It's all decked out in Arizona Cardinals colors and logos and so forth. It will be flying in for the day. Just got that confirmed this week. So we're looking forward to seeing that land on Sunday, be here through the day on Monday, then that big Boeing 777 departing right at the end of the air show on Monday afternoon.
Boy, let's hope it lands okay. The touchdown goes all right, because we know Arizona's terrible at touchdowns. I mean, just awful.
Their jet looks really nice, though. Yeah. I'll say that.
It's fun. Really nice. That's really, really fun. Hey, tell us about the Douglas World Cruiser replica.
Yeah, Douglas World Cruiser, it's a replica of five airplanes built by the U.S. Army in the early 1920s to fly around the world. Two of them made it, and this gentleman built a replica of it, and it is one horse of a biplane. It's on floats. It's down in the vintage area. It must stand 25 feet high. I mean, it's bigger than just about any airplane you're going to see in that area. And we're going to have it on display here as part of the Pioneers of Flight, and then we're going to have it on loan in the museum for a while. And so we'll take it in and put it in the museum after Air Ventures, so if people don't get a chance to see it during the show, they can stop year-round and see that airplane.
Tell us what people need to know. How can they get tickets? What are the hours? People are prepping now, Dick. Give us the essentials that folks need.
Indeed. Starts on Monday, runs through the 26th. The following Sunday, go to EAA.org, gets the tickets every day. Parking lots open at 6 a.m. The gates open up at 7. Go to EAA.org because you can save some money on auto parking passes and save some time, too. Get your tickets online and so forth. The night air shows are on Wednesday night and Saturday night next week. And kids 18 and under are free thanks to the Boeing company. So bring the family up, engage in aviation, and have a lot of fun up here at AirVenture next week. And we'll be seeing you next Thursday.
We'll be there on Thursday, and our broadcast location is right outside Exhibit Hangar A. It's not far from Boeing Plaza. So come see us. We're there on Thursday. For any information, go to EAA.org. Dick Nepinski is the Director of Communications. Looking forward to seeing you next week, Dick. Thank you so much. We are joined by Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge David Borowski. Judge, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. How are you?
Hey, good. I want to start with a question about the air quality. Is it impacting things at the courthouse? Here in our building, literally, we're in the old Grand Avenue Mall. It's hazy in the upper levels, and it's kind of scratchy. Have things been impacted at the courthouse?
Well, not to a great extent, though. I have noticed. I'm on the fifth floor of the building that, if you pay attention very carefully, there is a bit of a haze. And I tell you guys, I've lived here a long time. I've never seen it as bad as it is today and has been the last 24 to 48 hours. It really is something. It's astonishing, actually, in a bad way.
Yeah, it is. I think we all agree with you. Wanted to have you on to talk about what's happening on our roads. And this is really astonishing when you think about it. Another pedestrian died after being hit by a car in Milwaukee. It was the fourth time in this week. This was a 7-year-old guy in a wheelchair struck by a vehicle while trying to cross the street. A few days before that, two women were killed in a hit and run. We're still looking for the driver in that case. What is going on our roads?
Well, as you know, John, it's something we've talked about in the past, and it's of the many problems we have in Milwaukee, and this is certainly one that's at the top of the list. And as I've said to you in the past, I mean, I've lived here my entire life. I love Milwaukee. We have a ton of good things going for us. But when I talk to juries after various jury trials, and as you both know, I hear very, very serious cases. I read or heard somewhere recently that people have said, well, crime is down, but I read somewhere, but fear is not. And one of the things that's been a real problem in the last at least 5 years since COVID, if not longer, is the driving all across this community. And it's not just reckless driving. It's really in many ways ruthless driving. Because when you hear, like the cases you mentioned, four times in the last 6 or 7 days, four individuals all killed, all likely in hit-and-run situations, it's just a really, really sad situation. And it happens all over our community, and it happens to the most innocent citizens, whether it's two people leaving a bar and walking to their car, as you said, someone in a wheelchair, someone at a bus stop. It's just tragic.
I know. And in previous cases, can you believe the excuses that some of the suspects give? I mean, in one of the cases, there's definitely going to be, the grill is going to be completely out. And it could happen at any time. One of them was right before 5 a.m. Another was 45 minutes before midnight.
Right. The reckless driving, the hit and runs, the as I would call it, ruthless driving, the fleeing situations occur all over Milwaukee County. You know, as you know, there are certain areas, mostly on the northwest side, that are worse than others. But it occurs, as you said, at 5 a.m. It occurs at midnight. It occurs. I've had cases like this on the east side, on the south side near the airport. Multiple cases on the northwest side, and it's really, really unfair at every level to the people that live in those communities, whether it's on the south side or the north side, wherever, that they're paying taxes and they have to worry about their kids playing outside, taking a wheelchair walk or being walked around the block in a wheelchair, getting to a bus, and their lives are literally in danger through no fault of their own at the least expected moment. It's unbelievable.
Judge, you see this every single day. Judge David Borowski is with us. We see clips on the news, and it seems like there's a lack of remorse and a lack of accountability sometimes, even when someone's convicted and they're standing before you and are going to be sentenced. I know it's hard to generalize. Do you feel that when you see case after case?
Well, it certainly seems that way at times. And, you know, a lot of this goes back to a couple of things. First of all, you know, personal responsibility. You know, I'm confident with 95 to 98% of your listeners, and I'm confident with both of you, that if you accidentally, tragically hit someone with your vehicle, you're going to stop and you're going to stay at the scene. Everyone learns that when they're a teenager and they're early in their driving career, that you don't flee the scene, no matter how bad the situation is, even if someone's been hit or injured or worse. So there's a lack of personal responsibility. There also, from my standpoint, needs to be handled differently from a governmental level. And I'll tell you guys a quick story. I do see cases like this, and most of the cases that I see where it's a reckless driving, a fleeing situation, a hit and run, tragically involve a death. But I covered a case recently for one of my colleagues that did not involve a death, but it was a classic hit and run, classic fleeing situation where the defendant there was a stop by the police officers. There was a prior incident. And then the person takes off from the police. He goes on a chase that lasts about 9 or 10 minutes, 7 or 8 mile long chase. I viewed the video, and your listeners would be just, it's hard to describe, because he's going 90 miles an hour in residential areas, down alleyways at 5 or 6 in the morning, when people are, you know, getting up, going to work, coming back from a third shift job. And ironically, it's not funny, but ironically, one of the so-called solutions for bad driving in Milwaukee, as you know, is putting speed humps all over this community, putting in curb cutouts. Well, as I watched this video, the defendant who was fleeing the police after a separate incident literally drives over 9 or 10 speed humps, goes in and out of various curb cuts, just with no regard whatsoever. So some of those measures that have been taken over the last 5 to 10 years, it would seem to me are just, they're not working. And we need different strategies that work so that we can bring down the crime in this community, bring down the reckless driving, and reduce the legitimate fear that citizens across Milwaukee County have.
I mean, you get to see the images that will never be shown on television because it's too graphic. What is your message to people who are maybe driving right now, need to get somewhere, and are speeding?
Well, the message, and it's maybe overly simplistic, is to just slow down. Because you're right, Julia, I have seen images that will never be shown on TV, that are even hard to describe in words just to the average person, because there's no coming back from some of this behavior. You know, when you take someone's life, it's changed. You've taken a life, but you've changed the lives of hundreds or at least dozens of people, the family members of the victim, their spouse, their kids, their relatives, their parents. You know, they're taken away from every family gathering, from every birthday, from every Christmas celebration or Thanksgiving or 4th of July. And you as the defendant, you as the driver, you as the person who committed the offense, your life's been, in many ways, certainly not taken away, but thrown away. You're looking at possibly decades or more in prison, and you've taken yourself away from your family, your kids, your family, your spouse. People need to slow down, think about what they're doing, and think about the consequences, not just for the community, but for themselves.
Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge David Borowski. Judge, always good to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Have a good rest of the week.